major battle that was taking place between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. Jesus had gone to a place where there was a man who was controlled by a legion of demons, thousands of demons. And Jesus spoke and took care of that. And the man is overwhelmed. I mean, he had been running around tombs. They'd thrown him in the tombs to get him away from people, where people were buried. They'd taken him there and they chained him. He'd break the chains sometimes and get loose, and they'd have to take him back and chain him up again. And now he's in his right mind. And so he's ready to follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere, give his life to Jesus, because now his life is through with this major oppression. And Jesus says to him, go home and tell your friends how... Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He's had mercy on you. I mean, I just think that's major, because that's what we're to do. We're to tell our friends what Jesus has done for us. And that's what we're talking about over these days. We're talking about giving our testimony, how to give praise to God and share with people in a succinct way stories that happen in our lives, because we want to share those. After they tell us their story, then we need to be able to share with them some of the things God's done. You can't tell them everything. It'd take too long. You center it down to short things. Because after you have the second and third and fourth and fifth talks with them, they begin to hear that God's doing stuff in your life. Not that you bowled them over the head with it, but it just, you know, as you're talking, let me tell you what God did. And I had a guy I ran into in Columbia one day, and he said, he didn't believe in God. And so I just said, well, we prayed and got answers. And I showed him a book of over 200 prayer answers that I had. And he said, you have more coincidences in your life than anybody I've ever known. It's kind of hard with 200. And he said, yeah, you're right. So, you know, we give God praise by what He's done. We're going to talk next week about our salvation, how we started with Him. Last week, we looked at some examples from the Old Testament. We'll look at examples from the New Testament this week. Remember last week, we looked at the servant of Abraham, Gehazi, and he testified how God provided guidance for him when he had to find a woman to be the son of his master's boy. And so he goes and 600 miles away, which in their day is a long time, and finds this girl, Rebekah, for Abraham's son, Isaac. And then we talked about David. David said, the Lord who delivered me, He'll deliver me from Goliath. Because He delivered him from a bear and from a lion. And so he talked about God's deliverance and protection. And there are a lot of things you can talk about. I mean, there's not only those two, but we can talk about opportunities that God gives us to serve Him. Carrie did that this morning. We can talk, and Doug and Carol. We can talk about the freedom from bondages, from fear, from financial ruin, from all kinds of things that God does for us. We can talk about the doors He opened and the favor He provided and the... how He encouraged our hearts during difficult times. I mean, all these things are things that are worthy of our testimony of what God's done for us. Now, in those testimonies, we saw last week that one of the things that was always taking place is they gave proper place to the Lord. And that's what we need to make sure we do in our testimonies. We want to get us out of the way and get God in the front. Because, to be sure, we're there, but He is the one who does the heavy lifting in our lives. He's the one who does the stuff for us. And so we want to make sure He gets the praise. We also want to let them know that we're trusting, because that's one of the things that we saw there. Here were people who were trusting God. You know, they'd come to the end of trusting themselves, they were trusting God. Many times the things they had to deal with, they didn't have the resources to handle them. And the sooner we understand that, the better. Because we don't have the resources to be able to handle things. We have thrown upon Him, and He does help us. The main thought, of course, in this needs to be something that you focus on. There's always a main thought in what you share. There's something there, and you want to make sure they understand that main thought. Otherwise, they're just hearing a bunch of stuff. But if you put God in the forefront and help them understand, God kept me from fearing in this situation and messing up. God kept me from whatever. And God did this, and we just give Him the glory. Now, today we want to look at another setting. We look at two men. One's name was Peter. He was the apostle of Jesus. The other is Cornelius. And in chapter 10 of Acts, we have the story, and we share. So I want you to hear the story. If you got your Bible, you can turn there, and you can follow along. If you don't have your Bible, just watch up on the screen. We have the words up there. So I need the sound up. Guys, I need the sound up for the for music.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in, and when he observed him, he was afraid.
Cornelius. What is it, Lord?
Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do.
And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him,
"Rise, Peter, kill and eat."
"Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean."
"What God has cleansed, you must not call common."
This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him,
"Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them."
Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius.
"Yes, I'm he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?"
"Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you."
Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up.
"Stand up. I myself am also a man."
And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them,
"You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me?"
"Four days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said,
In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins.
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God.
Can anyone forbid water, that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have?
And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days.
Now that's 48 verses in the version that I have. But anyway, Peter is going through this experience. And Cornelius, you know, testifies and gives testimony of what happened to him, right? Who did he do it to? He did it to the three that he sent. He also did it to Peter when he came. So they're sharing about the things that take place in their life with God. Now, over in chapter 11, we're not going to go through and read it, but I just want to tell you, he condensed down actually from verse 3 to verse 18. That's 15 verses. 48 verses to happen. He condensed it down way under half of that because he's got to tell the entire thing, including Cornelius' testimony, as he shares what took place. He basically says, I was in a vision. I had a vision. I was praying. God gave me a vision. He brought men from Caesarea. The Holy Spirit said to go with them. I went to Caesarea with six others. Cornelius, I heard Cornelius' story. I began to speak, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. I remembered the word that God spoke, that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And since they experienced the same thing we did, I just said they ought to be baptized. And so he's sharing that. He's sharing a testimony of that and just going through it and making sure that they get the points. But who's doing the work? I mean, look at the first thing. How does he get a vision? Who gave him that? God brought the men from Caesarea because he had the Cornelius say that. The Holy Spirit, there's God again, right? Said, go with him. I went with six others. I heard Cornelius' story. You remember what Cornelius said? There's this angel that God sent. He said to go. I began to speak, and here again, God shows up, right? Do you see how many things he's talking about God doing? I mean, it's pointing. It's God. It's not Peter. Peter's not saying, and I preached this fabulous message, and these were my points. He didn't even say that. He just said, I started speaking, and God moved. And so we want to pull us out of the way and push God in the forefront. That's one of the big things. So, one of the things you want to do is you want to tell what God has done. You want to make sure people understand the setting, but you've got to condense that down because you could spend a lot of time talking about the setting. God's more important than the setting. Do you understand that? Shake your head like this. That means yes. But you need to give enough so that they understand the setting was there. I mean, Carrie gave today that she was in a pool at the Y. I mean, you know, you're at this in this setting. And so she's sharing about that setting. That's great. All right. How were you involved? And then what were the results? And we always want to make sure that God gets the emphasis. All right. So that's what I want you to do. And I want you to break up right now. I want you to get with two people. You and somebody else. Guys with guys. Gals with gals. And I want you to share a story about what God has done. Did you come with two topics? Last week I gave you an assignment. Come with two topics. And nobody did their homework. What a
we remembered it was two, but we couldn't remember what.
Remember it was two something, but don't know what. Okay. Well, we want two topics, all right? And I want you to don't do two. You're going to do one topic. And each of you are going to share about what God did. Now, I'm going to get you to pair up, and don't say anything until you pair up, and wait, because I'm going to give you a time limit. All right? Because we've got to get this down so that you're not going on long, long, long. You've got to condense it down, so you're going to have to throw stuff out. So I'm going to give you a time limit to do that in, all right? So don't start talking. You pair up, and then we'll work with it, okay? All right? So I don't want you really being with somebody in your family. I want you to spread out beyond that, okay? This isn't hard, and if it's a little scary to you, that's okay. You can just tell about something happened. Now, the time frame needs to be since you know about Jesus. Okay? So something that God has done for you. It can be if you're younger, if you're under the age of 18 or so, you can tell about what happened in your family. And that'll be fine. But just tell. When did God show up sometime to help you? All right? So let's divide up right now. Go find somebody. We're condensing the stories down. You can always, people will say to you, what about, if they ask you questions, that's great. But what we're wanting to do is get the meat of the story out before them of how God helped us in our life. The reason we're doing that usually is because they're talking about something like happened with Carrie, a great segue into this, where she, you know, was doing this and she could tell the lady wanted to talk a little bit. And so, you know, that you share just little bits and pieces and stories. But if you get these stories down, see, she's going to probably see her again. Is that correct? Yeah. And, you know, then she gets to share another story of how God has done things. But it's promoting who God is through our lives. And we're letting people see that God's active in life, because most people have not met somebody who walks with God to where God's involved in their life. They meet a lot of people that go to church. A lot of people know about God, but their living is practical deist. They believe he exists, but he's not really involved in people's lives. And what our job is to help people who are believers understand that, and especially the folks who don't have any knowledge of him to understand that. Because God wants to have a relationship with them where he's walking and moving in their life all the time. All right, now I'm going to put somebody on the spot. Ray, get up here. How's this for putting somebody on the spot? I want you in about 5 minutes. Give us a testimony. Can you do that?
I can do that.
Very good.
Back about 5 years ago, give or take, there was a young man standing up here giving his testimony. And he was just back from China. I was going through a situation, medical situation, where I'd gone in and done a stress test and failed it miserably. And then they did the nuclear stress test and found these blockages in my heart, and had decided that it's time to do a catheterization and put in a stent and all that stuff. And I just didn't believe that was necessary. I didn't believe that I had a blockage in my heart that needed the curing. So in an effort to go through this, during that period of time, I was praying and Teresa was praying very strongly that I be healed. And I was sitting back there about where Carrie is now. And I said, Lord, it's time for you to heal, to show me the miraculous healing that you do. I said, I know that you can heal right here on the spot. And I felt a warm feeling hit my heart and go through my blood vessels right then. And I was healed. Tuesday morning, I went into the catheterization. They go in, they put me on the table, they go through all the things. And the neatest little nurse in there, and she says, does my blood pressure and everything. And she says, this guy's not going to have anything except the darn, they're just going to run the tube up there and find nothing with him. And my blood pressure was 118 over 78. I'll never forget her saying that. And she said he's done. Says nothing wrong with him. And sure enough, they did the catheterization. They ran it through. To their chagrin, they were absolutely amazed. There was not a thing, not a blockage, not a clog, not a. And God does heal. Now, the other side of this is last April, I had a little accident on my boat, and I messed up my wrist and my foot, and I've been praying for healing on it. The doctors don't know what to do. I've got a chip of bone broken loose in my foot, and it's just sitting there, and they don't want to do surgery on it because they don't know what to do when they get in there. My wrist, I've gone through an MRI and all kind of stuff on it, and they said, I don't know what to do. I can cut it open and try to see what's wrong with it. But, you know, God heals in His time. He don't heal in ours. And I still believe that He is in the process of healing my foot and my wrist. And God bless you all. I mean, amen.
Well, let's pray about that, shall we? Would you join me in praying for him? Now, the Scripture says that we're priests, a kingdom of priests, and God had His priest in the Old Testament to raise His hands towards them. So we're going to follow that. You just raise your hand towards Ray, and we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord, that You have power way beyond the comprehension of us and beyond the comprehension of doctors. Now, we thank You for them, but we understand their limitations. Thank You for working in Ray's body. You, Lord, have told us in Isaiah that part of the going to the cross was not only to forgive our sins, but to heal us. And so thank You for healing Ray because of the payment that was paid at Calvary. Thank You for healing that wrist. Thank You for healing that foot. Thank You for causing everything to come back properly. Thank You for touching him that he might be able to add another story of Your greatness to tell to people. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessing in his life, and thank You for touching him in Your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. He did a good job, didn't he? Yeah, that was right on the target. In fact, that wasn't 5 minutes. That was 3 minutes. That was very good. But do you see how much you can bring in that amount of time? And what was the meat of that? What was the topic of that? God heals. Right. He had a need, and God took care of that. And so that shares with people, because people have needs, and they need the help from the Lord. So that's really good. Well, thank you for that. I'm really excited about that. I want to pray for you so that we're not through yet. We've got some other things we've got to do. But I want to pray for you about this, that the Lord will help you as you share about His greatness. Thank you, Lord, for these people. And would You help them, young and old, to be able to share of the great things that You've done. Would You make us mindful of Your activities in our life so that we can share with others about the wonderful things You've done. And thank You, Lord, for bringing people into all of our lives that we might share of Your goodness and share of Your grace in our lives, of Your mercy. Thank You for opening up opportunities left and right that we don't expect to be able to share with other friends. Thank You, Lord, for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen.